I'm on, praise God. I hate to be off. You enjoying God tonight? Isn't it great to know God's wild about us? Come on now. There's nothing we can do to make God not love us. He's just totally, totally in love with you. Come on. Question is whether you're totally in love with Him. But you know, whether no matter how ugly you are, He still loves you. You know, I was thinking about that. You know, I mentioned in the car today, it's just kind of popped out of me. You know, when the grass seems greener on the other side, maybe it's time to water your lawn. You know, instead of trying to desire someone else's green grass, because if you water the lawn, it will turn green again. Come on now. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 9. I want to get into something today. We've been talking about the shift all week. There's a shift going on. I believe this nation's going to shift back to God first season. I really believe that. I still believe there's one last move of God left. I honestly believe the church will start embracing God again. Amen. Come on now. You know, there'll be fresh fire. Come on. It won't be one of those things where you know, don't even have to go to church. You know what's going to happen anyway. Yeah. Come on. I always tell people, I said, you know, if your church is all just always programmed, just send me the program. I don't need to be there. Come on now. You know, you can build things on program, or you can build it on the presence of God. Yeah. Come on. And tonight I want to deal with, because when we've been talking about the shift, you know, without the understanding of the power of the blood, we can't stay in the Spirit. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, so one of my partners wrote me, and we have a lot of partners around the country and even from other nations in the world. And one of my partners wrote me and said, when are people going to start teaching on the blood again? And what was weird is I hadn't taught on it for years. And I kept thinking about that. And every, you know, it's funny because I read the letter and thought, that's interesting. And I know the importance of the blood. But, you know, I went back and I was trying to mind my own business, but everywhere I went in Scripture, I ran into the blood. You know, when God began to show me the importance of the blood, you know, you've been purchased by the blood of Jesus. Literally, the blood is the greatest terror to the enemy. The blood will protect you from evil. Come on now. See, you know, when the church stops pleading the blood, it gives access to the enemy. Come on. Hallelujah. Zechariah 9:11, let's look at this. It says, as for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you. I love that phrase. How many people understand? He says, I've set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. All freedom we have is because of the blood. All freedom we have. You know, the fact that you have been delivered from the curse is only because of the blood. Without the blood, there is no freedom. Without the blood, there is no forgiveness. Without the blood, there is no salvation. Without the blood, we're not children of God. You know, without the blood, we're nothing. Come on now, because the life of God is in the blood. In fact, honestly, just as I was reading Leviticus, when they would anoint the priest, they would first put the blood over the earlobe and the thumb and the toe, because they knew that the anointing could not rest on anything but the blood. Then they would put the oil. See, without the blood, we're not anointable. Come on now. There's tremendous power in the blood of Jesus. Tremendous power. You, in fact, it says, because of the blood of my covenant, he said, he says, I have set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. What does God say? No more dry seasons. Because of the blood, you have a well of salvation in you. Come on. Which means you always have water available. You can draw from that water. And because of the blood, many of us have been filled with the Holy Ghost, and we have rivers on the inside of us. Come on, out of our belly will flow rivers of living water. It says, return to the stronghold, O prisoners who have hope. This very day I will restore double to you. Literally, restoration comes because of the blood. I love the power of the blood. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. One time I was, you know, I was preaching with Jesse the Plantis, and I always like dropping names when I have some names to drop. I just, you know, I don't have that many, so I just drop the ones that I know. But I have more than most people, which is nice. But I love preaching with Jesse because he's crazier than I am. I think he is, at least. But, you know, he was talking about the first time he ever cast out a devil. And he said this lady came forward, and there were about 800 people in the meeting. And he recognized that he saw the demonic in her. And he said, I'm about ready to cast out the devil. But he told the crowd, you better plead the blood on you, lest that demon jump on you. See, he said, there are 800 people, and they're all going, blood, 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 blood. It sounded like a bunch of tugboats in the harbor, you know. He said, a few were Catholic folks because they were doing the cross thing, but the rest were going, blood, 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 blood. And he said, when he laid hands on that lady, you know, power, he said, in the name of Jesus, I command the spirit to come out of you. And, you know, she got delivered, but when she went, she flew backward, and she had the wig on. And the wig came flying in the air and landed on a man that would go blood, 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 blood on the third row. Then he started screaming, Harry Devil, Harry Devil. You better plead the blood or you may get a Harry Devil. Come on now. But Exodus chapter 12, verse 5, talks about when they were leaving and God was about ready to bring judgment. You know what keeps judgment off of you? The blood. You're not pointing into wrath. Why? Because of the blood. Without the blood, you were appointed to wrath. It's the blood that makes sure you're not appointed to wrath. And it says in Exodus 12, verse 5, it says, your lamb shall be unblemished, male, a year old. You should take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat. In verse 13, it says, and the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. It goes on to say in verse 23, for the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the doors and will not allow the destroyer to come in to your houses. Come on. He won't allow the destroyer to come in to your houses. When you plead the blood, literally over your home, your family, your children, it says the Lord will not allow the destroyer to come in. Come on now. Think about the power of that. He will not allow the destroyer to come in. Come on. Some of you are going to get this tonight. See, we have redemption through the blood. You know, I love the fact that we've been purchased not with, you know, silver or gold. They weren't valuable enough. We were purchased by the precious blood of Jesus. Come on now. But the one lamb that could pay for the sins of the entire world. Don't you ever, 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 ever say you're unworthy. Because your worth is tied to the value that the one who bought you. You know, you're not deserving of it. You didn't earn it. But as far as God's concerned, your worth is son. Think about that. God gave his son in exchange for you. You are the most valuable commodity there is. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. I want to drive this into you. Because if I can get this into us, we will no longer, I'll guarantee you understand the blood, you will never, ever, ever, ever experience condemnation again. I didn't say you wouldn't experience conviction. God will deal with you, but he will never, you'll know that you were condemned, but the blood has set you free from all condemnation. There's no condemnation for those in Christ. You were condemned the moment you received Christ. You became justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. Come on now. In fact, Hebrews 9:11 says, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, I'm glad he's the high priest of good things. He entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that's to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Many of us, we need, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We've been redeemed from the curse. Come on now. We've been redeemed. We're not like the world. The blood of Jesus, there's a distinction. The blood is our distinction. Come on now. We have a different daddy. Come on. Because of the blood. You have a blood right to certain things. You know, and the blood, Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness or remission of sins. What I love about the blood is it doesn't just cover your sin, it wipes it out. You know, what I love about God is he's chosen. The moment you confess your sin, he not only forgives you, he forgets all about it. He's chosen to forget your sin for his own namesake. As if you'd never sinned. He takes the record, and there is no record in heaven. Now, you know, some of you, you have relatives that keep records. They never let you forget any of the wrongs you've ever done. But the good news is God doesn't keep those records. In fact, when you bring it back up to him, he said, I don't know what you're talking about. He's, you know, because he chose to forget it. And we must never regret what God's chosen to forget. You know, too many Christians live in regret because they don't understand the power of the blood. Do you hear what I'm saying? I remember when I first got saved. I came from a very rugged background, to say the least. I mean, when I was invited to church, they hired a couple armed policemen because they heard I was coming. That's not a joke. That's reality. I was always on the... I was on two pages of my paper growing up. I was on the arrest side, and I was on the sports page. You know, several major league teams didn't draft me because of my antics. They said he'd never last. You know, when they prophesied where I would be, they told, you know, it's funny, where will you be 10 years from now? My page read, he will either be in the major leagues or he will be in prison, but we know he will be drunk. And, you know, I was telling you about that, the Cardinal scout. The Cardinals didn't sign me because the two games the guy scouted me, I got kicked out of the game one time the catcher had a ponytail and I slid by him and pulled him down by the ponytail. For some reason, he didn't like that. And the other time, I hit a home run and ran to the other dugout and started whooping on the coach. Just jumped on him. And, you know, in fact, I was crazy. But God has a way of taking crazy people and setting them straight. Amen. You know? Amen. And, you know, some of those things, I look back on, but there were a lot of things. When I first got saved, I was still tormented with my past. I don't know if you understand what that means, but you know, there are people I hurt in my past. I cannot go back and make it better. I was involved in a fight where a policeman lost his eye. I was involved in a fight where, a teenage boy was crippled for life. And I can't even tell you if I was the one who did anything because I was so out of it, I just knew I was there. And I knew I was capable of doing it. But you know, when I first got saved, I felt so guilty. I knew God forgave me, but I couldn't forgive myself. And I remember when, you know, one day I was sitting in my, you know, first couple of years, at night was the worst time. Because at night I would feel so guilty, and many times I would cry at night. I'd just cry over what I had done. And finally I had an open vision of Jesus, and I saw myself nailing him to the cross. Saw myself nailing his feet, nailing his hands. Every time I nailed put the nail into to his hands, I kept hearing, "I forgive you, I forgive you." And then I pierced his side, and out came the blood and the water, and I saw the blood just beginning to flow, and next thing you know, Jesus was no longer on the cross, and he was approaching me. Eyes full of light, and he looked at me, and he said, "I forgive you, why can't you forgive yourself?" And he said, "Take my forgiveness to my people." And I'll never forget that, because it totally set me free. Totally set me free. And I, from that moment on, I could say like Paul, "I've wronged no man. I've wronged no man." Paul was there persecuting the church, and yet, you know, he had such an understanding of the blood. Such an understanding that the record was set clean, that he could say, I have wronged no one. Come on now. There's such a power of the blood. It cleanses us from dead works. It cleanses our conscience. It sets us free to serve a living God. I am so grateful we don't have to carry the old man around anymore. I'm grateful that the day we died to sin, that old man was buried. Come on now. The moment you received Christ, a new you came. A new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, everything became new. And the good news is, even after you sin, after you're saved, you don't have to carry that around. I don't care what it was. God doesn't want, his blood removes all shame. All shame. He said, "Not only do I forget, I forgive you, I remove the shame of what you did." Yes. Come on now. You don't have to live in that. Isn't that good news? Yes. It is good news. We have remission from sins. You are sanctified by the blood of Jesus. You are saying, let's go to Hebrews 13:12. See, sanctification begins with an understanding of the blood. You're sanctified for the word is truth, but you're also positionally sanctified by the blood. How many people understand tonight your spirit is holy? If you're born again, your spirit man's holy. Your spirit man's righteous. Your spirit man is made in the image of God. Yes. Your spirit is saved. Your soul is being saved. And your body will one day be saved. Which means, honestly, on the inside, we're like God. On the outside, not so much. You know? That's why we have to learn how. Come on. God said, "Work in us." Why? He wants to work. He said, "Work out your salvation. Work out your salvation." He said, "It's in you. Work it out." So that literally the holiness on the inside goes on the outside. The righteousness on the inside comes on the outside. Work it out. It's already there. Come on now. You know, the problem with the church is we say, "You're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. Act righteous." It's like saying, "You're a dog, you're a dog, you're a dog. Act like a cat." The truth is that he who knew no sin became sin on your behalf, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. Yes. You have a new nature. Yes. Come on. Yes. You know, your outward man is still prone, but your inner man, it's like God. And there's a war going on, and it's usually in your head, trying to decide which one's right. Come on. Hallelujah. Does this make sense? But you are sanctified. Hebrews 13, verse 12 says, "Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood." So you've been sanctified by the blood of Jesus. Again, you've been purged from dead works in Hebrews 9:14. It talks about how Jesus, you know, you need to understand what took place. God was angry at the world because of sin. I'm going to say something theologically that some of you may disagree with, but I don't really care because I'm right. And when you get to heaven, God's going to say Woody's right. Come on now. But we have had preaching of God, of sinners in the hands of an angry God. But the bottom line is God's no longer angry. If you understand Isaiah 53, where it says it was God's good pleasure to pour his wrath on Jesus. He was angry. Jesus paid the penalty for all the anger. He also paid for all the sins of the world that will ever be committed. And the only sin to ever send someone to hell is the sin of not receiving the pardon that Jesus purchased. That's the one. When you don't receive Christ, it's not all the other sins. Because Jesus already made the paid for all the sins of the world. You still have to ask for forgiveness. He still is the only way. Come on. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But he's not angry. He's not even angry at the sinner anymore. He's pleading. Mercy. We're in a season where God's trying to show mercy. Because judgment is coming. But he's trying to show mercy, trying to say, come on, receive, receive, please receive. And he's made us ambassadors of good news to people. Tell him God's not holding your sin against you. If you'll receive him, he paid for it all. Come on now. Some of you are going to get this. It's all through the blood. And when Jesus came into the Holy of Holies, not by the blood of bulls, but by the, of goats or, he came with his own blood. I always picture him carrying a pitcher in there. With his blood in the pitcher, and I see the Father standing up and still angry at humanity. Saying, guilty, guilty, guilty. And Jesus approaches the throne, and there's an altar before the throne, and he pours out of the pitcher his own blood. It begins to cover the altar. And the blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Cain, because the blood of Abel was saying Cain is guilty. But the blood of Jesus is saying, not guilty, not guilty. To as many as receive this blood, I will forever declare them not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. And the Father, who was angry, looked down at the blood and looked at his Son and said, it's finished. Jesus finished it on the cross, but when the blood was taken into the holies, it sealed our redemption forever. We are declared righteous because of the blood. You know, nothing that's unrighteous can make it into heaven. That's why your spirit goes to heaven. You get a new body. You know? But people say, well, you know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, 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 no. If you were a sinner, you wouldn't be saved. Yeah. The moment you received Christ, you became righteous. And if you understood that, you would understand also the epistles were all written to the holy ones, the saints. Yes. Saints mean holy ones. And it's really, I mean, it was almost like an oxymoron. The holy ones in Corinth, they were a pretty wild living bunch. But God called them saints anyway. Come on now. You know? Do you hear what I'm saying? See, I begin to preach this, and I begin to realize how many people have been basically stopped by guilt, never have felt clean in their life. I was preaching in Alaska, you know. I went there for years and preached at Sarah Palin's church where she attended. You know, people's, you know, I am very politically motivated only because I know a lot of people. So don't talk about my friends. That's what I was telling them. I said, don't you talk about my friends. I learned about gun control from Sarah Palin. If you shoot, don't miss. I was hoping that she would be one day president so we could have a real, I would love to see the presidential, the beginning meal. It'd be moose this and moose that. And probably chocolate mousse for dessert. But hey, you know. But one of the things I was surprised when I went to Alaska, I flew to Bethel. And Bethel, you can't get there from Har. So you had to take a little one of those little puddle jumpers there. There's a lot of Eskimos and, you know, people out there in Bethel. And when I was there, it never got above 38 below. I was there in the wintertime. In fact, I'll never forget one day it was 85 below. You spit and it turned to ice before it hit the ground. And a lot of those Eskimos have an alcohol problem. I guess it's how they stay warm. They'd all come to my meetings with their alcohol. They'd leave their offering at the altar. And, you know, they'd all get delivered until the next night. But they kept coming back. You know, and they love me. They love me. You know, they just love me. I'll tell some other story, Woody. But, you know, one of the days there, you know, I was shocked. The public school system canceled all their classes and took all their students to hear me. Pretty neat. Yes. And I thought, you know, and I got an opportunity to share. And while I was sharing, the Spirit of God quickened me. Because I knew there was a lot of incest and sexual abuse in that culture. And God had me begin to talk and give a word. Now, I expected the teenagers there that to respond, some of them. I didn't expect what I got that day. Because I said, some of you feel like you'll never be able to be clean again. You have felt dirty. They said, there's some in here you've even made Jesus Lord of your life, but you still feel dirty. And God wants to restore your spiritual virginity. And when I gave that word, a lot of the teenagers began to weep, and I knew God was going to heal some hearts. But what shocked me is there were several older ladies there from the church. And I mean, older, like in their 80s. And they began to wail and scream. And, you know, when I gave the altar call, they came forward too. And what they told me later on is that they had been abused when they were little kids through their teenage years. And they said, you know, we've been in church all our lives. And they said, this is the first moment I ever felt clean. They didn't understand the power of the blood. The power to remove all those stains. Come on now. You know, they were many times when you're a victim, you still feel unclean. And it's only the blood that can get you cleanse you. You know, but the power of the blood is it's able to eradicate all the stains, all the residue. See, the blood makes us a victor, not a victim. I am so grateful for the power of the blood. I don't know about you. We had a friend that, you know, she backslid. And I understood why. Her husband was a New York City cop. In fact, he was very instrumental in my early days because I came out of such a wild background. And in fact, the fact that he befriended me was interesting because his partner was the one that lost his eye in a fight that I was involved in. If anyone had a reason to hate me, that guy did. But he would call me up every time I was feeling like I was being drawn back. And, you know, right at the right time, I'd get the phone call. And I'm grateful for people like that. Yes. You know, but a couple years after I got saved, he was just responding to a normal call, and he got shot to death. And his wife was early 30s, and she got angry at God. She backslid. I'll never forget the night that she came back to church, because she comes back to church trembling, and where she interrupts the service. And she comes forward and she tells people, she said, "I've been backslidden for a few years," and we knew that. But she said, "Tonight I got so bad," she said, "I went to a palm reader." And so I sat down with the palm reader because I wanted some answers, and I just felt like I couldn't talk to God anymore. And he said, the palm reader took one look. She grabbed my hand and she began to scream. She said, "I can't read your palms. They're covered by the blood of Jesus." Shook her up so bad, she ran back into the church building and got right with God. Let me tell you, demons recognize the blood. Demons recognize the blood. In fact, if they'll do anything, they'll try to get the revelation of the blood out of the church. Because the blood is what's bought our victory. The blood is what gives us the right to be healed and set free and delivered and blessed in every way. It's been the blood that has given us the rights we have. Come on now. And so much time the enemy is trying to keep us back. And we have peace, you know, with God because of the blood of Christ. We've been justified by faith in what? By faith in his blood. Come on. How many of you understand, if you walk in the light as he's in the light, the blood of Jesus will continue to cleanse you from all sin and unrighteousness. If you walk in the light that you have, God will take care of the light you don't have. And if you do sin, you can confess your sin, and the same blood is able to cleanse, remove. Come on. And let me tell you something. When you sin, you don't lose your salvation. Because if you lost your salvation every time you sin, you'd be a mess. But let me tell you also, the reason you confess your sin is not what happened to your spirit. Your spirit remains righteous. The reason you confess your sin is because you give entrance to the devil through your sin to your body and to your soul, not to your spirit. So what we're doing is we're confessing our sin to basically shut out the enemy, and God imputes that righteousness that's already on the inside to our soul and our body area. Come on now. That's why we confess sin. So, you know, there's a lot of teaching out there that say you don't have to confess. Yes, you do. Trust me, it will mess up relationships. Yeah. My wife, she's already decided she's going to love me and forgive me no matter what. I put that to the test. Come on now. We've been married a long time. You first get married, like I said, it's puppy love. You don't work at it, it's going to be dog eat dog. But, you know, we love each other. We've already made that commitment. But that doesn't mean I don't have to say I'm sorry when I mess up. I know she loves me. She just doesn't like me at that time. Come on now. In order to get her to like me again, we have to do some talking. Come on. And what I always tell men, I said, men, you can either be right or you can be happy, but you can't be both. Come on. You may be the head, but she's the neck who turns the head. Keep mama happy. Come on. See, how many of you understand what I'm saying? You have peace through God. You're cleansed by the blood. If you walk in, there's something about the blood that's always working. You've been washed by the blood. You know, in Revelation chapter 1, let's go there. Is this okay tonight? Because I love the blood. I love it. You know, the reason you can come boldly to the throne is by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb gives you access to God at all times. You're always welcome. Always. When you mess up, you can run to God. He's not going to be upset you came. He's upset when you don't. Because he wants to help you. You come to the throne to receive grace and mercy in your time of need. And you come boldly. You know, I've told this story in here before. You know, my dad's, you know, law firm owned one of the floors in the Empire State Building at one time. My dad was one of the leading attorneys in America. And I remember I was going to a ball, you know, a ball game at the Yankee Stadium. And back in those days, I could wear a tank top because it didn't look obscene. That's when I was a perfect V, not the inverted V. So, I mean, I didn't look like a rich guy's kid. I wasn't dressed for where he was, but I wanted to see my dad. I was in New York City. I wanted to come by and see my dad. So I went by, and I took the elevator up, and he was his law firm was basically working for, you know, a very notorious person. And there was a lot of threats on the law firm's life, in fact. So he had to have extra security. So he hired Barney Fife. I remember that. And I take the elevator up, and I get off the elevator, and the security guard meets me. And he had never met me before, and he thought for sure I was on the wrong floor. And he looks at me, and he says, "You don't belong here." I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "You need to leave now. This is a high security floor." I said, "You don't know who I am." He said, "I don't care who you are." I said, "Yes, you do." You know, we're having this argument, you know. And he's getting real nervous, and he's actually pulled his gun out and started waving it. And I asked him if the bullet was in his pocket, and that got him all upset. You know, I was calling him Barney. You understand, when I get nervous, I laugh. One of the reasons I've been in a lot of fights in my life is I start laughing at the most inopportune times. And this was one of them. And this guy's kind of going ballistic. And he said, "You know, you need to leave now." I said, "You don't know who I am." He said, "You need to leave." I said, "When I tell you who I am, you're going to get me a jelly donut and a cup of coffee." And he got real upset. He said, "Buddy, you need to leave now." He points the gun at me, and he says this. I said, "You don't know who I am." He said, "I don't care if you own this place." And I looked at him, and it was the answer I needed. I said, "I do." "You do what?" I said, "Read my lips. I own this place. Now you tell my daddy I'm here." And he asked the famous question, "Who's your daddy?" And when I told him who my daddy was, it changed everything. You hear what I'm saying? He got me a blueberry donut, you know, filled in, you know, donut, my cup of coffee, called me sir. Come on. Why? Because no little security imp was going to keep me from being around my daddy. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, when you know who your daddy is, you don't allow anyone to keep you away from your daddy. It makes no difference if you're totally obnoxious. He's still your daddy. Come on now. I have a blood right. Come on now. And I found out, when you have a good relationship with your kids, how many of you understand everything you own is theirs? Come on. Why? It's a blood right. My son doesn't come in the house. He doesn't usually ask for permission. He owns it, man. I mean, you know, he's a teenager. Well, he's not no longer, but he was for a long time. And he had a refrigerator attached to him. He had this condition. It was his life support. I had to go with him. But you know, what I found out is he just knew everything I have. It's his. You know, I'm glad we're not the same size, or we would have been, half my clothes would be gone. My ties were gone because he could fit into those. You know, come on. But how many of you understand what I'm saying? The blood gives you access. The blood gives you rights. The blood has made all the difference in the world. And Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 says, and from Jesus, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, that's us, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his own blood. He made us to be kings and priests. Because of the blood, we're kings. Because of the blood, we're priests. Because of the blood, we can pray heaven to earth. And because of the blood, we can reign in this life. Come on, because of the blood. Come on. The whole earth is in travail until we realize we are the sons of God. Till we understand what the blood purchased. And you overcome the enemy. Why? What? By the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb and not loving your life unto death. See, if you don't mention the blood, the devil won't. You know, he's not going to remind you. In fact, he's going to tell you you're unrighteous, yet the blood declares you righteous. He's going to say you're unworthy, and yet the blood declares you worthy. He's going to say you don't have a right, but the blood gave you the right. See, that's what he's trying. He's trying to keep us ignorant to what the blood purchased for us. He'll try to convince us God's angry with us. Don't get near him. Yet the blood gave us full access. Even when we don't deserve it. Even when we've been ugly, that's when you need to go to God the most. Come on. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, we're justified by the blood. You know, they're singing about the blood in heaven. Let's go to Revelation chapter 5. If we're going to sing songs, you might as well sing a heaven song. In Revelation 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals, for thou was slain and didst purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and nation. And you made them to be a kingdom of priests. Come on. You made them be kings and priests. He said, you've purchased. They're singing it. They're singing about the blood. You know, back in the old days, we used to sing, there's power in the blood, a lot. Wonder-working power. Come on. Sin, soul-cleansing power in the blood of the Lamb. I mean, the enemy hated that. So he changed to some new style music and made sure the blood wasn't mentioned much anymore. Come on now. But there's still power in the blood. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Come on. We are something else because of the blood. We're redeemed to God by the blood. It's faith in his blood that's caused us to become the righteousness of God. You enter the Holy of Holies by the blood of the Lamb. Come on. I mean, we should always be living in God's manifest presence because we have access to it by the blood. You imagine? I've had the privilege in my lifetime because of, you know, I've been around some of the leading people in the world. I've met with presidents. Well, you know, vice presidents. I've actually spoken in the same platform with vice presidents of the United States. I know a lot of senators. I know a lot. I've had the privilege to be around people, you know, in every walk of life. Hall of Fame ball players. You know, I do a lot of Fortune 500 things. And what I found out is, you know, there's a certain protocol when you come in. The higher the rank, the more the protocol. You still have to respect the office, which sometimes is hard, depending on what you think of the man or the woman. But you still have to respect the office. There's a certain avenue of respect that has to come. And it's right. And what I found out is that you know, as honored as I was to spend some time with some of these leaders, and I, you know, I have photo ops to prove it and stuff like that. You know, my son has met with the number one high-tech people in the world. He's 20 years old. You know, he's met with people that just are the superstars of those. But the bottom line is, what we found out is that we have a chance. You know, as honored as I was to meet some people that honestly were some of my heroes down here on earth, I get a chance to come into Almighty God's presence. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Come on now. I get a chance to just go face to face with God Himself. And as I behold His face, I'm changed. I can come boldly at any time because of the blood. Because of the blood. Because I'm always welcome because of the blood. Hallelujah. Yeah, there's something about the blood, you know. And there's something about when you get around other blood-bought believers. You can go worldwide and you don't even know their language. But the moment you're around them, you're one. That's what the blood does. There's something in you that you just know their family. They're just family. I love the family of God. I love it when God, I love new births because I love seeing people added to the family. You know, I just love it. And I love it when God begins to convince us once again that literally the power of the blood, you know, is the cup of blessing is what the, and that's what, when it talks about, you know, taking communion, they call it the cup of blessing. Why? Because the blood is what secures the blessing. And there's a fountain that's always running. You know, it's always running and cleansing. There's a fount. See, we that were far off were made near by the blood of the Lamb. You got to understand how powerful this thing is. The blood, according to Hebrews 13, it was the blood that raised Christ from the dead. You got to understand how powerful the blood is. Whatever you need, it's already been purchased by the blood. You have a right to it. You have an inheritance because of the blood. God has never given an inheritance to anyone that wasn't bought with the blood. The inheritance you have is by the blood of the Lamb. There are those that you used to be outside. You were far off, and the blood brought you near. Come on. There's so much power in that blood. You know, we should be singing about it. We should be rejoicing in it. You know, if you understood what the sacrifice of Jesus did, according to Hebrews 10, 1 and 2, you would never, ever, ever have a consciousness of sin. God never wanted His kids to have a sin consciousness. He wanted His kids to have a God consciousness. And people say, well, if you don't have a sin consciousness, what happens if I sin? Then God talks to you. He corrects you. And you know exactly what He's talking to you about. See, what I found out about God, you know, condemnation's almost always general. You don't know what's wrong, but you don't feel worthy. You feel like there's something wrong. You feel like you're always falling short. See, the blood of Jesus takes away the feeling that you're always coming up short. And be honest with you, if you're always feeling like you're always coming up short, you never feel good enough to receive anything from God. Because it's no longer, if you feel like you're always coming up short, then you feel like a servant who has to earn it versus a son that has had it given to him. Think about that. I say, I always tell people, you can live off your earnings and live poor. You can live off your inheritance and live rich. God's already given you all things through His Word that pertain to life and godliness. He's not withholding anything from you. He gave you this kingdom. Come on. It was the Father's good pleasure. He's forgiven you more than that. He's called you. He's not ashamed to call you His son. Are you ashamed to call Him your Lord? You know, when my son is, when he is just, when we're hanging together, there's nothing I won't give him. The only time I will withhold any good thing is when he's not walking uprightly. And you can't bless, even though you've been blessed with everything, God can't release the blessing when you're not in a position to receive it. So there have been times in my wife, in my son's life, where, you know, there were things I had to withhold for a season. Not forever. Until he got in the line, because if I had given them to him, it could have even been destructive to him. Come on. But the moment, it wasn't like I was withholding anything. I was just waiting. And what I found is God's just kind of waiting for some of us to get rid of all that unworthiness stuff and just say, hey, God, I'm going to receive from you. I'm going to receive from you. And guess what? You're not going to receive from God by, you know, so many. Let me tell you something. You'll never be good enough on your own. You'll never pray enough. You'll never read your Bible enough. I'm just, if you're into trying to work it out in terms of you on your own stuff, God, I'm going to really impress you. You know what God says what impresses him? Faith. Faith pleases God. What is faith? I believe you did it, God. I believe it's complete, God. I receive from you. And you know what faith is sometimes? God, you're asking me to do this thing. Now I need your grace. I don't have the ability to do this. So now I'm going to come to you and get the ability. Come on now, because you've given me access to your ability. It's called grace. Come on now. God, I need your help on this thing. I need you to help me work it out, because I can't do this apart from you. Apart from you, I can do nothing. Well, I found out the whole thing about the blood was God shed his blood because he wanted relationship. Anytime we function apart from relationship, it's dysfunctional. Most of the church body's been dysfunctional because we've been trying to get God. You know, basically, we're trying to activate something by trying to earn it when God said, I already gave it to you. And people say, well, if you do that, then how will people do what's right? Well, they'll do what's right because they don't have to perform to get it. They'll do what's right because they're in love with the one. See, when duty takes the place of love, joy is quenched. When we're just doing it because we got to do it. You know, but when you're in love with someone, even the things you don't like to do, you kind of like doing because you're with them. I go shopping with my wife, and I hate to shop. But I sure love being with the woman. And be honest with you, I even like watching her try on clothes because she looks good in them. And I know I'm blessed. I know, you know. I just like hanging with her. So a lot of things I normally wouldn't like doing. Now, when it comes to me shopping, I just call up my Dillard's department store in Oklahoma and say, they call me up, they say, suits are on sale. I look in, all I do is look at the dummies. And I look at them, I say, these are my dimensions. I want to look like that dummy. So when a lot of times when I get up and people say, you look like a dummy, I said, thank you. So if I dress strange, it's because of the dummies I've been looking at. Come on now. Hallelujah. But you know, how many of you understand what I'm saying? That the blood of Christ is, you know, God, he wants to bring the church into freedom, and there's freedom in the blood. There's freedom in the blood. There's free. And guess what? Because you didn't earn the blood, you can show mercy to other people. I found out is when if you thought you earned it, you want them to. That's why to whom much love has been received. To him that's been forgiven much, they love much. My wife said, why? Because I'm very strong in my personality, obviously. But she said, how come you're so merciful too? I said, you got to understand something. I came out of so much garbage that it took me a long time to get free. I take two steps forward, one step backwards. I know what it's like. You know, people who have never struggled with bondages and sins don't know as much as if you've been basically delivered from them, and part of your deliverance wasn't all, all, part of mine was instantaneous, and I was grateful for that, but some of it wasn't. And, you know, I have a, if someone's trying, I'm going to help them. Someone wants help, I'm not going to judge them because no one thought I could make it. I mean, I know the church, but they probably gambled behind the scenes. They taught against everything. But I know the betting rate was on me failing. We bet he's going to go under. But they didn't know. They didn't know that I love God with all my heart. I was like Lazarus. By this time he stinketh, and I came out all bound, and I had to get loosed. Now I'm trying to help other people get loosed. And it bothers me when people try to judge people, when people need mercy. I mean, I'm going to help, you know why? Because God rescued all of us. Does this make sense? You know, that's why I don't, you know, I came out of certain things, and I feel for people. And I think sometimes we have to go back and remember where we were and never forget what God got us out of so we don't get holier than thou. And realize the same blood that bought us can ransom the most wicked and sinner in the world can be made perfectly clean. Because I'm a living testimony. A lot of people got saved in my neck of the woods, which is New York City, and they didn't say that back then. You can tell I've been in Tulsa for a long time. But a lot of people got saved in my neck of the woods because they figured if God could forgive me, he could forgive anyone. I mean, I had a lot of people say, hey, when we heard, and they'd come to the meeting to hear for themselves. They said, there is no way. I said, there's only one way. Jesus made a way where there was no way. He is the way. Let me lead you in something real now, and then I'm going to pray for you. This okay tonight? Because honestly, we've got to get back to the blood. We need to become blood conscious. Come on now. You know, whether we like it or not, we got bloody religion. Come on. You know, we've been purchased by the blood, and without the shedding of blood, you know, Jesus said, unless you drink my blood and eat my body. Now, you know, he's talking about partaking in his, you know, believing what he did, but he also said as a symbol we were supposed to, you know, partake of communion often, not to forget what he did for us on Calvary. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the broken body by which we were healed. You know, this is something I say almost every day. I make this personal proclamation. And I say, I testify to Satan personally as to what the Word says the blood does for me. And I said, through the blood of Jesus, I'm redeemed out of the hand of the devil. Through the blood of Jesus, all my sins are forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, continually cleanses me from all sin and unrighteousness. Through the blood of Jesus, I'm sanctified, made holy, made righteous, set apart to God. My body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, purchased and redeemed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Satan has no power in me, no power over me through the blood of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. My memory is blessed. And the blood of Jesus has secured everything I need. I'm a blood-bought son and child of God. I am not a second-rate child. I am a blood-bought child of God. Everything God purchased for me is mine because of the blood. I have a blood right. Come on now. I have a new bloodline. You know, my old bloodline was cursed. My new bloodline is blessed, praise God. I've been delivered from the curse that the blessing of Abraham might be mine. And I begin to just remind myself and the devil, and then I plead the blood of Jesus over me, my family, my, you know, our businesses, my son's businesses, his corporation. You know, it's funny to say a 20-year-old's corporation, but it is. You know, I plead the blood over every area so the devil has no access. None. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, As the days out there get darker and darker, we need to be pleading the blood. We need to be, don't get in fear. Just plead the blood. God will make a distinction. He will make a distinction when he sees the blood. When he sees the blood, he won't allow the destroyer. He won't allow the destroyer. When he sees the blood, we need to begin to plead the blood over this nation. Come on now. Plead the blood. If my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves, pray, come on, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways. And if we will begin to ask God, come on, heal our land, oh God. We plead the blood back over this land. Pray for Israel. Because God already purchased it. That's his land. We better never be on the wrong side of that one. Come on now. This is a new day, church. Now maybe gain this in your spirit. You know, what I want some of you to do today, I want you to let go of dead works today. I want you to let go of the past today. I want to let you to let go of inferiority today, thinking that you're second class. I want you to let go, have a new family tree that's called Calvary. Yes. And some of you need to allow God to make you feel clean again. Apply the blood until you feel clean again. Come on now. You know, you may have been through some horrific things, but the blood of Jesus, come on. It can take away. It can take away. We're no longer does the enemy have access. Sometimes our hurts, when we don't allow God to enter in, gives the enemy access into those areas where I think, and some people, they always feel like they deserve the bad things happening. If you feel like you deserve the bad things, it shows me you don't have an understanding of the blood in that area. Now, I'm not talking about sin that you're doing that you haven't repented of. Please understand what I'm saying. But some of us, you know, I there are times in my life I'll look back and although I have forgiven myself, at times it crops up. And we're going through a struggle and I'm thinking, I kind of deserve this. I hate to say that, but I sometimes feel that. How many of you understand what I'm saying on that? You think, I kind of messed up over here, and I guess. And God said, no. I thought you were over that. And he said, get back to my blood. You got to apply some blood to some areas. You got to apply some blood to some areas until you realize, hey, the enemy has no access because of the blood. How many of you tonight, you say, I need tonight, I want a greater revelation of the blood than ever before. Because I don't believe the church right now is capable of going on without this truth becoming another center of what we're doing. We got to get back to the blood of Christ. We got to get back to it. Come on. So how many of you, some of you may need healing tonight. Maybe you have a loved one needs healing. You can stand in proxy. We can believe God. Why? Because of what Jesus has done already. Because of what he did on the cross when his body was broken for their healing. And the blood was shed, especially if they're believers. Come on. God wants his kids well. He wants us well in our spirit, in our conscience, and everything. So if you want prayer tonight, just come on up. I want to pray for you now. Come on. I know most of you are there. That's why I'm not giving an altar call for salvation because I know you're all saved or you lied the first four nights. But let's believe God. Let's not come meriting it on anything else except for who our daddy is. That's why. Well, that's why healing is the children's bread, because we're his children. Let's believe God. Let's lift our hands towards heaven. And let's start thanking God because of the blood. Let's come boldly to the throne and just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for choosing me. You chose me before I chose you, God. You died for me before I ever was conceived here. You purchased me. You adopted me when nobody wanted me. You traded your son for me, and it wasn't much of a trade. Someone who was totally sinless for someone that seemed to be totally sinful. But I always will thank you for the exchange. And I say, Abba, Father. And I'm coming boldly. Some of you come boldly for, you're maybe in behalf of somebody else today. But you have a right to ask your daddy. You have a right to believe God.